The Yom Tov of Shavuos, like a Friday Shia, instead of the Parsha, let's discuss some in Yoni Machshava relating to Shavuos. The first thing is observation. This is not a vart. Make it very clear, this is not a vart, and it's something to think about, something to develop. I saw this in the Sefer Alehi Goyon by Rabbi Klein. His name is Rabbi Klein, I forgot his first name. And he just makes the following observation. The beginning of Sefer Shavuos, we know there was a famine. There was a famine. So what happens when there's a famine? So you know, nice of a similar, where do you go when there's a famine? You go to Mitzrayim. We know that Avraham, when there was a famine, that he rubbed Aretz, where did Avraham go? He went to Mitzrayim. Then when there's a famine, where did Yitzhak want to go? He wanted to go to Mitzrayim. And Hashem told him, no, don't go there. But that was the first inkling. When Yaakov, there was a famine, where was there? Yeshev in Mitzrayim. So we have a precedent in the Torah. Whenever there's a famine, you go to Egypt. And we learn Yeshaya, we've probably said 100 times that Rav Schwab, very often he says, like we discussed the musical chair theorem, that in every generation you have to redefine, the Nevi'im are speaking to us in modern times, who is the Mitzrayim of this generation? Go back 100 years, who was the Mitzrayim? Go back 300 years, every generation there's a Mitzrayim, there's an Ashur, there's a Moav. Every generation you have to find the Mitzrayim. Rav Schwab, basically he said that in this generation, the United States is the Mitzrayim. Is the Mitzrayim of when Yeshai talks about Mitzrayim, he's talking about America. He pretty much says that over and over. You have to take that with a grain of salt. So you have to, you know, dilute that exactly what it means. But why here, in this time of famine, we have Elimelech? He was the Gadol Hadar, the leader of the Jewish people. And what did he do? He went to Moab. He should have gone to Mitzrayim. So, he makes the following observation. Chazal tell us, the Midrashim, the Rashi, the Mefarshim tell us the reason why he left, he abandoned his city because he was a very wealthy person, and he knew that thing that there was such poverty, he would be harassed to help, to assist, to give away his wealth to support the poor people. And he didn't want to do it. He felt that it's not the right thing that he should just give up all of his money to support the poor people. That was not in the best interest of himself and Klal Yisrael in the long term. So he went away. So where did he go? If he would go to Mitzrayim, they would get a hold of him. You know the story. If he goes, someone gets lost on a desert island. He says, don't worry, I made a pledge to the UJA. They'll find me. So if you go to America, you'll go to Mitzrayim, they'll find you. Because that's the way it is. They do fundraising in America. In Mitzrayim, they do fundraising. They'll get a hold of you, they'll find you, they'll honor you, and they'll extract all your money to support the Aniyei Eretz Yisrael. You know where's a safe place to go? You go to Moav. You know why you go to Moav? It's like a Swiss bank account. You hide your money. You can't hide anymore. And now they're revealing all the Swiss bank accounts. But why? Because Moav is the place. What was the banner when you come to Moav? When you walk into, you come to the airport of Moav, what do they have on display? Not cell phones. They have on display the pasuk, Asher leKidmu Eschem Balechem Vamayim. Moav is the place where we're stingy. The essence of Moav is we don't give away food and water. We're not going to greet you. You have trouble, you're starving, you're passing through the desert, you're starving, you're thirsty. We're not giving away the money. It is a safe haven. It's the equivalent of putting away your money in a Swiss bank account where no one has access to, no one knows about it, you can hide your money. It fits perfectly well with the Medrash, the Chazal. He ran away because he was being harassed to help the poor. And he did not want to do so. He had to go. If he would go to Mitzrayim, they would get him. Because Mitzrayim, there's also some degree of hospitality. There's also some degree of supporting the poor. But Moav, whose essence is a nation, this is where I'm safe. Very interesting insight. And this came to haunt him. And now this is where it gets difficult, where you have to think about what happened in Moav. He died, his sons died, but in the process they took Rus HaMoavia, they picked up a woman from this city, Rus HaMoavia married his son, and she came back with his wife, and then she married in Boaz, and this was a plague in Klal Yisrael, that their children are not valid because Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem v'mayim lo yovei amoini u'moyovi b'kahal Hashem Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem u'vamayim. So it was the ultimate harm that he did to himself in a certain degree. Because what would have happened if he would not have? The Chazal, you know, they fantasize, they speculate. You know, we know that Melech HaMashiach has to come from David. David comes from Rus. We don't know. We do not know how things would have, Hashem's master plan would have come about. But it did not come out in a very. There was a lot of problems in how Melech HaMashiach came to be, because of this stigma of Moav. And Moav, by essence, a nation of Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem v'mayim. Who brought that upon himself? Machlon. It wasn't just an accident. The point that he's making in the Sefer Alei Higayon is it's not just an accident that he went to Moav. So you learn the Sefer Rus, you totally, at least me, gloss over this. You were all brainwashed with Midrashim. Yeah, there's Lot, it was all meant to be. We all look at it in hindsight, 2020. That's not necessarily the way it was meant to be. We don't know exactly how HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Mashiach to come and all of these factors. Okay, there was a famine, he was stingy, he didn't want, so he ran away. No. It was deliberate. I'm going deliberately to the nation of Moab because this is where they're not going to get me, because this is the makom of Asher lo kidmu eschem balechem v'mayim. That totally changes the whole approach, the whole attitude of what's happening. This came to haunt him for the rest of from generations to come, all the way down to David HaMelech building the Beis HaMikdash. You're illegitimate. And because he was illegitimate, there were problems. Had there not have been this Avner, we had with Doik was arch enemy. He killed Levi HaKohanim. Had there not been opposition to Dov because he was illegitimate, then there would have been a different Klal Yisrael. Maybe there wouldn't have been a Chorban. Things would have been completely different. Why? Because he made a conscious decision. For me, Mashiach is going to come. Mashiach is going to come for me. It could have been that Mashiach would have come not from Moav. Whatever that means, you have to take into consideration Rus, who she was and what was meant to be. No, we only are able to look at it afterwards. But there's a problem. The point I want to make is we have a very big problem here. Deliberately decided to go to Moab because that's a place where I can hide my money, because that's the makom where they have the midah Asher lo kidmu eschem balech v'mayim, and this haunts Klal Yisrael ad hayom hazeh. Yeah.
Didn't they have the man?
This is the shayftim. There was no man. No, this is not the midbar. This is the time of the shayftim. What?
And he lost his fortune.
The marriage says he didn't lose his fortune.
He came back with nothing.
He lost his fortune there when he went to Moab. Yeah, that he died. He had a lot of tzaris, right? But at this moment in time, when he made the decision to leave, he had in his possession enormous wealth, and he just, I'm going to hide. So go to Mitzrayim. You don't like it here. Look, when they left Europe, they didn't go to Eretz. Most people didn't go to Eretz Yisrael because the economic conditions were such that it was extremely difficult after the war to make parnasa. So many made it the conscious to go to America. So good, so go to America. But what are you going to Moab? Because in Moab, no one's going to ask me for a handout. Because he's not allowed to. Because that's the nature of the country. He made that decision. And that decision is exactly what haunted him for the rest of his life. For the rest of generations. Yeah.
So my kasha is, okay, so he dies, right?
Yeah.
He knew Mashiach was going to come?
No, he doesn't know Mashiach's going to come from him. We don't know that. That's all in hindsight.
His sons go so far.
Assimilation. That's what happens. That's the mitzias. Go ask all the people who came. Rachman Litzan, who came out, came before the war. They didn't have what to eat. They didn't have a piece of bread in Europe. They had to come to America to make parnasa, and they took a risk. And for some, it worked out. And some, it didn't work out. You don't know.
Why do you choose in America?
You make decisions based upon the situation, and you hope for the best. Right. No guarantees in life.
They were royalty. And
it's easy for us to criticize him. If we were living in his time, what?
He had died at the time his sons married it.
Not necessarily. Maybe his sons. Who says?
The pasuk says that. says Vayomer Samelach, and then it says Vayishu Lahem Noshim.
It doesn't necessarily mean they married after he died. I know the Tzukim, the sequence gives you the appearance that it took place later, but it's not necessarily. It could very well be that they married before he died. That's the way the Tzukim are written.
Midas of the individual. Then suddenly, is this an Elchid? If he was rich at that time,
it's easy for us to criticize. How we've been living in the times, we would have looked at him totally differently.
The Medrash faults Elimelech and the sons, but does not fault
Well, she had no choice.
Right.
It's a wife. She has no choice. She has to follow orders.
But they fault the sons for what?
For marrying. For intermarriage.
So the Medrash does criticize them, absolutely.
Oh, so they do criticize them.
Of course. I mean, they married non-Jews. There's a question, were they Megayer, not Megayer? This is a discussion. Was a sincere Gairus, not a sincere Gairus? Okay, so these are, because the Pashas, she converted later on, was converted later on.
Not for the move, but for that, I mean, let's face it, she lost her husband, she lost all her wealth, she lost her children, that was her punishment. She went along with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is one idea, I think it's a very... Yeah. New insight. To me, it shook me up. You can read this 100 times. It's a whole new insight. It really connects the very beginning of the Sefer to the end of the Sefer. The end of the Sefer is who? The Oyvin Halidus Yisha, the Yisha Halidus David. Ah. And what's David? There's a problem with David. David comes from Moab. And Moab, this is a plague. To the very end, until finally, when they built the base Hamikdash, even when they built the base, they didn't want the Shlomo HaMelech. The Aaron didn't want to come in until they said, "Su in the Schus Bavur David Avdecha Al Toshet Pnei Meshichecha." A miracle happened. Finally, the doors, the Kodesh Hakadoshim, opened up, and everyone now realized, finally, David is legitimate. But you know how much blood was shed. Until then, and you know how much we suffer, even at Hayom, because of all of the complications which came out of this problem? It all starts in the very first pasuk. He left, Ayelech Ish Melechem Yehuda, the first pasuk, Lagur, Bistei Moav. Right? I read this 100 times. Never thought about this. Apparently, that was a local place to go. No. He had other options. He could have gone to America. Could have gone to the European countries. He could have gone to Africa, Argentina, right? Uganda. How do you pronounce it?
Uganda.
He could have gone there. Could have established a state. No, he chose. He chose deliberately to go to Switzerland because there you have bank accounts that are not under the scrutiny of the world. They violate all international laws, so no one can check up on you, not anymore. Now already it's been revealed, all the secret accounts. But it was a deliberate decision, because there, when you come to the airport, no one's going to solicit you for a donation. We here believe in deliberate decision. That's the connection, the first pasuk to the end pasuk. And this is something you have to realize, the consequences of your actions. Ad hayayim hazeh. Okay, let's go to another idea. Let me tell you a short little joke. It's not a joke. It's a cute thought which shook me up. I was in a car yesterday with a Hasidisha younger man, and I told him that tomorrow I want to say I was driving. Yes, and I said to him, I want to tomorrow say Torah on Shavuos. Tell me a good word I can say over. It's a Hasidisha younger man. So I'll tell you a word. It's short, sweet. So he says to me, in Shavuos, the Gemara says, "Hakol moedim de'atzeres de'inon lochem." Other moedim, you could either do the machlokes in the Gemara and in Rosh Hashanah, some whole, you can, the whole day you can devote to Hashem. LaHashem, you just daven and fast and learn and only focus on ruchnius. And then some opinions are, some Tanoim are of the opinion, Amaroyim, Tanoim, whatever they are, you should know, Lochem, the whole day party. Davening, keep to a bare minimum. This is a debate when it comes to Pesach, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, whatever it is. But Ba'atzeres, on Shavuos, everyone agrees, you need both. Yom Shnitna by Torah, you have Torah, let's Lachem, and you need Lochem. You have to have a good time. You have to have a good piece of cheesecake.
Yeah.
You have to have a good nap. You have to have some fun, a good fight in shul. You have to have some real fun. Bidan nami lochem. Okay, that's the Gemara. So he says to me, so therefore, Mamela, what does this mean? So he says, by the Hasidim, let me tell you what this means. He looks at me, you kalta litrak, you don't even know what this Gemara means. By the Hasidim, this is what it means. You go to shul, we stay up the whole night, we learn, tikkun lal shavuos, and then we dive in with such a hislavus, the psukei de zimra, and the akdamus is done with mamish, the shemaim opens for akdamus, and we learn the aseres hadibros, and it's kokeli with a halal before, and a kokeli, and the musaf, we say keser, you call the litvax, you don't even know what you're missing, you don't say keser, and keser, especially we do the aseres hadibros, the luchos has 620 letters. We go on in the musaf, and then after davening is over, they daven slow, we're already finished, ready 10, 11 o'clock after the whole night, and then we look around at each other and we say, Nu, what are we going to do now? We will mekayim the Gemara that akol moedim v'atzeres be'inan nami lochem. But we were mekayim the lochem. Now we needed mekayim laHashem. You got it. We had such a good time learning and davening. Taka, we were mekayim the Gemara. Nami lochem. So now we have to sit down and do something laHashem. So now we'll first sit and say Tehillim, we'll first sit down and learn, we'll do something laHashem, because the first half of the night we were mekayim, we fulfilled lochem. I was like shaken up because I have to admit, I didn't see it coming. It's an interesting, you know,
perspective.
Yeah,
it's a twist, right?
It's a twist. It's an interesting perspective, and there's something to it. It's a shtickle musar. There's something to it. How much do you enjoy Torah? Shavuos is all about Kabbalah Sator. How much is it a part of your life? How much is it a din of lochem? Okay, that's the second. Let's go to a third idea. This idea. Okay, now let's discuss the difference between Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres. They're both very interesting, and they both conclude the end of a holiday. Sukkot is a 7-day holiday. Sukkot teishu shivas yamim. You only sit in the sukkah for 7 days. There's no such thing as sitting in the sukkah for 8 days. Sake of the Yom, okay, how far do you go? Shouldn't be a bal toisef. Okay, that's the whole issue. Shmini Atzeres is the Atzeres. It's the closer. It's the end of the holiday. Shavuos, it is the Atzeres of Pesach. What's the most fundamental difference? That there's no gap. There is no gap between the beginning, between the Yom Tov of Sukkos and the Atzeres. Atzeres literally means the ingathering. You collect everything that you've accomplished on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, you put it together in perspective, and you seal off the holiday with one more day of Shemini Atzeres. On Shavuos, that's really what we're doing for Pesach. Pesach was Yitzias Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim was not just an event, it was a purpose. The purpose was to come to Matan Torah, to Har Sinai, to come Hashem's servants, to receive the Torah. Bavur Tavdim Eslokim Alohar Hazeh. It is the Atzeres of Pesach. Very, very simple. That's what it's all about. In fact, it's all viewed as one big carbon toida. On Pesach, we have Chometz, and on Shmini Atzeres, we bring Shtei Halech. And on Shavuos, we have the Shtei Halech. And the Shtei Lechem are Chometz. What is a carbon Toda? A carbon toda is a combination of chametz and matzah, and the two holidays come together. They together accomplish a homiletic form of a carbon toda. Thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for taking us out of Mitzrayim and bringing us to Har Sinai and giving us the Torah. Okay, but what's the obvious question? Why is there such a gap? Why Shmini Atzeres, is there no gap? And why is Shavuos a gap of 49, 50 days in between? So let's look at this holiday from a different perspective. What are we doing on the Yom Tov of Sukkot? We sit in sukkos. What are sukkos? Anani akovod, booths, which served as protection, shelter, when we traveled in the Midbar. Where were we going in the Midbar? Where were we traveling for 39 years? Where was our destination? Eretz Yisrael. Okay, let's put aside Torah. Because really, in Chumash, there's no mention that Shmini Atzeres has anything to do with Matan Torah. That's pure tradition. What is Shavuos all about in the Torah? The Torah calls it Uviyoim HaBikurim. That's what the Torah defines Shmini Shavuos as, a holiday when you bring the first fruits of Eretz Yisrael, a Mincha Chadosh Ola Hashem. So the Torah very clearly defines the end of Shavuos that it's very much related to Eretz Yisrael. The coming into Eretz Yisrael, the bringing of the first fruits of Eretz Yisrael. That's really what it's all about. So it comes out that on both Shmini Atzeres and on Shavuos, we are both celebrating Eretz Yisrael. Because Sukkis, we're travelers. We're in the booths. We're in the Midbar. We're coming to our destination. What's our destination? The eighth day. What's the eighth day? The eighth day is our entrance into Eretz Yisrael. And the proof is, look at all the minhagim. On Hashana Rabbah, what do? We make seven hakafas. On Shemini Atzeres, we make hakafas. What are the hakafas all about? Yericho. I mean, it's brought down. It's all about Yericho. What happened in Yericho? They walked around the wall seven times, and the wall collapsed. So the hakafas on Shemini Atzeres and on Hashana Rabbah is all after traveling for 7 days, after going through the sukkos, the 7 days, which represents the 39 years in the Midbar, the 40 years in the Midbar. Now, at the end of this process, we come into Eretz, so we come to Yericho, we walk around the city seven times, the walls collapse, and we enter into Eretz Yisrael, and that's what really Shmini Atzeres is all about. Coming into Eretz Yisrael after the Sukkos. That's what follows from the Sukkos. What is Shavuos all about? Uviyoyim HaBikurim, coming into, Uviyoyim HaBikurim is coming into Eretz Yisrael, taking the first fruits. So they're really both the same. They're both the same. One is, they both represent the idea of coming to Eretz Yisrael. But there's a very big difference. What was our first stop in Eretz Yisrael? The first, Yericho, right? Yericho, we just learned. Ochan, the Oicher Yisrael. Yericho, coming into. What was our last stop in Eretz Yisrael? Yerushalayim. Because it was a 410-year process from the time we came into Eretz Yisrael, from Yericho, until it was decided, it was revealed to David and Shlomo and the Nevi'im that Yerushalayim would be the final resting place of the Shechinah. Nowhere in Chumash does it say that the city of Shalem and the city of Yeru, of Bahar Hashem Yeroheh, or Beisel, would be the Mokom where the Mikdash, the final resting place of the Shechinah would be, until the time 410 years later, in the time of David, when David bought the land from Aravna Hayavusi, and Shlomo HaMelech was given the blueprints, and the Nedim at that time, they went and they laid the foundation, Nasan HaNavi, and so on and so forth, they built the base. Until that time, it was a very big mystery. They first were in Gilgal, they were in Mitzpah, I don't know all the details, but the first was Gilgal, there was the Mishkan, and then they were in Shiloh for 369 years, and after the Korban of Shiloh, they were in Nov, and then in Givon 56 years, and then the Aron was temporarily in different places until David finally brought it to Ir David, and then they finally established Yerushalayim. It was a long process, and it was Nevuah, and we learned Yeshai, it was an incredible chiddush from the Mitzudos, which we spent time on, is that even when they came to Yerushalayim, like we take it for granted, you go to Yerushalayim, of course, this is the final resting place. It was very controversial. Not everyone agreed that Yerushalayim is Kiloi Basim Arata El Hamanucha Vel Hanachla. Who are you to say, David, who was a descendant of Rus HaMoavia, that Yerushalayim is going to be the final resting place of the Beis HaMikdash? And even when they build the Beis HaMikdash, the Psukim and Yeshayahu that deal with this, people challenged. Yeah, it's a very nice building, okay, very nice, everything is nice and fancy and fine. It's no different than Shiloh. Shiloh was also a nice structure. They also had a very nice structure, nice nice building, everything was fine and nice. It's, you know, in the meantime, until we finally have the Melech HaMashiach and will tell us exactly where to bring the Mikdash, that we're not going to decide. But it was established. It was established at a period of time. It came, all the controversy quieted down. It was established that in Chanami Yerushalayim is going to be the Menuch of the final resting place. This was a 410-year process. L'shichno Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. Seek, come to Eretz Yisrael. You're not going to settle the land right away. It's a process. Conquer the land, get used to it, absorb the Kedusha. In the meantime, the Mikdash will be in, the Mishkan will be in Gilgal. When you're ready, we'll advance, we'll go to Shiloh. When it was a Chorban, okay, now we'll go to the next stage, Nov, and then Givon. You have to go, it's a process of maturing in the land to reach the final end of Yerushalayim, L'shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. But what's the end? The end is Yerushalayim. The Haskalah, the first conquest was Yericho. The last conquest was Yerushalayim. Now based upon this Yisod, we can now understand clearly the difference between Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos. They're both Atzeres. They both close up the previous Yom Tov. Shmini Atzeres closes Sukkos. Shavuos closes Pesach. And what are we doing? It's all a process of destination. Shmini Atzeres is captured in the Kedusha or in the concept of Yericho. Shavuos captures the concept of Yerushalayim. And there are many Amori Chazal that connect Yericho to Yerushalayim. For example, it says that when they sang Shir, even though there's a very great distance between Yericho and Yerushalayim, I don't know how, the miles, but it says that one of the miracles of the time of the Beis HaMikdash, when they sang Shira in Yerushalayim, it could be heard in Yericho. When they offered the Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, the fragrance of the Ketores can be smelled in Yericho. When it says that the one that will succeed in conquering Yerushalayim will receive the Dushna, the fatty land of Yericho. Who ended up? No one ended up conquering. It was given to the descendants of Yisrael. Okay, there are, I don't have in front of me all the Mamari Chazal, but there are many Mamari Chazal that very strangely connect Yericho to Yerushalayim. My inyan ze itzel ze. The answer is very simple. Yericho was the first part of the process, the haschola, the beginning of the process. Yerushalayim is the gemar. It's our final destination, our maturity in developing a kedusha in Eretz Yisrael and reaching a final resting place, a permanent resting place for the Shechina, L'shichnoi Sidrishu Vosa Shama. That is why there is no gap between Sukkos and Shmini Atzeres, and there is a major gap of 50 days between Pesach and Shavuos, because after traveling in the Midbar for 40 years in our Sukkos, we've concluded our journey in the desert, the Anani HaKavod, right away. What's the first stop? Immediately. No delay is Yericho. Yericho comes immediately following Sukkos. Whereas Shavuos, there's a very large gap because it represents a 410-year process between coming into Eretz Yisrael and settling in Yerushalayim. There was a massive gap, a massive separate foreign period of time. We take that period of time and we condense it into a shorter, but there has to be this gap to express it was a long process in between first coming into Eretz Yisrael and coming to Yerushalayim. Okay, now let's go. Now here's the point I want to bring out. What is the essence of Shmini Atzeres? The number 8, Shmini, which is Yericho, the beginning of Eretz Yisrael. Ches. What is Shavuos? Nun. It's the entire process of Kibush Eretz Yisrael for 410 years, which we encapsulate, we relate to in a process of 7 times 7, Sphira. Last day of Sphira, come to day 50, Nun. Nun is 50. What is Ches and Nun together? Chain. Now, how does one translate the word Chain? It is possibly the most difficult word to translate in the entire Torah. Chain. It's a very hard. Lashon matnas chinam. How do you translate chain? A person has chain in your eyes. You like him. Why do you like him? I don't know. Is he rich? No. Is he good looking? No. Is he smart? A little bit. Nothing. I like him. I just like him. Why do you like him? He has chain. What does that mean? He has chain. Define chain. It's a very difficult term to define. Extremely difficult. Hashem says, V'chanosi es asher achon, v'chan es asher achen. I will be favorable to the person that finds chain in my eyes. We see in this world, there are people that Hashem provides. We don't know Hashem's calculations. Chain is something which is extremely difficult to define. But what's fascinating is... what is chain? Chain is captured in the combination of Shmini Atzeres and Shavuos, the two Atzeres, the double Atzeres. The Ches of Shmini and the Nun of Shavuos. Shavuos is the 50th day. Ches Nun. Ches Nun is chain. And now what have we defined? Now here's what I'm getting at. What have we defined? What is the relationship between the Ches and the Nun? The Ches is Yerichoy, the beginning of the conquest of Eretz Yisrael. What is the Nun? It's Yerushalayim, it is the Gemar. What has happened? What was Klal Yisrael busy doing from Ches, from Yericho, for 410 years until they finally came to a resting place? They were involved in 410 years in this concept called Leshichno Sidrishu Uvasa Shana, in seeking out the Mokom, the place where the Shechina could rest, of a permanent resting place, and to arrive at that Makom. And therefore, this reveals to us that the translation of chain, you know what chain is, the true chain? When you look at a person, and the person is a person whose life's work is l'shichnoi sidrishu uvasa shama, that's a person that has chain. And you think about it, it's really true. People who are, they're doyrish, they're always working on themselves spiritually to be better, to make themselves a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu can rest his Shechina. A human being who puts himself, who works on the midah of l'shichnoi sidrishu, to seek out Hashem's divine presence, that it can be a resting place, a permanent resting place, and uvos l'shama, and he makes that his goal, and he works to arrive at that destination in himself, that person evokes chein in the eyes of the beholder. That's the taitch of chein. And that can only be appreciated when you understand the big picture of Shmini Atzeres, the Ches, with Shavuos, the Nun. Shmini Atzeres follows right after the Sukkah. After we went from the booths, where do we go? The first stop, right away, Yericho. And then 410 years of working hard to find the final resting place. Nun, a separation, 7 times 7. It's a process, long process. Yerushalayim, Yericho, Yerushalayim, beginning to end. Ches, Nun, Chein, L'shichnoi Sidrishu Uvasa Shama. Okay, so this is our third idea.
Definition is even more elusive than...
Okay, but it's something. It's something to work with. It's not just, he's a good baseball player. You know, it's not just, you know, there's something there. And there's a certain truth with it. A person that's a mavakish, he's working on himself. He's trying to accomplish, he's trying to achieve something important. Okay, let me go tell you another idea. Another idea. This idea is really a chasam sofer with the embellishment of Rabbi Pinchas Friedman in Shvile Pinchas. Short idea. We have on Shavuos the Indian of the Shtei Halechem, the two breads. All of the Darshanim, everyone is given their own shot at trying to understand why there are two breads. So some tell you because you associate milchiks, fleishiks, and milchiks, so you have to have two different types of meals. Shtelech, and the most popular approach is Torahs compared to bread. It's a short idea. Torahs compared to bread. L'chul lachamu belachni. And Shavuos there in Torah is divided into two parts. There's Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh. We know that Klal Yisrael is stira. On the one hand, Klal Yisrael naseh v'nishma. But on the other hand, Chazal tell us, Kof aleihem har kigigis. And Hashem forced us to accept the Torah, so man of shach. Did we accept it willingly? Did we say naseh v'nishma? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu force it upon us? So the answer given, the popular answer given is, both. Torah Shebichsav, what's easy, just the basic understanding of the Torah, the mitzvos, tayag mitzvos, knew that we'll accept naseh v'nishma. But Torah Shebal Peh, which involves all of the hardships of Torah, the learning of the study of Torah with all of the details and learning Torah l'shem shemayim and everything that it captures, that was a hard sell. That was a hard sell, and that is something which we only accepted because the Kadosh Baruch Hu forced us, kafa aleim har kegigis, which ultimately the time of Purim, kibu v'kiblu, we once again accepted upon ourselves, even the hardships, we even accepted upon ourselves, tzer shel peh, at a later point in time in history. That's a very popular approach. Now, I want to just take that approach and plug it into what Chassam Sefer says. Chassam Sefer says, and this is a very, very important idea, that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he went to Shiloh to receive the Torah, this is the Medrash, this is the popular Medrash, so he came up against some very strong opposition. Who was on the other side of the table in the negotiation process? The Malachim. And the Malachim said, Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to give this person the Torah? What are you kidding? What's going on over here? Are you Lurisha, a human being? How dare you take away our Shlita on the Torah and give it to a human being? So Hashem said to the Malachim, Hashem made Moshe Rabbeinu look like Avraham Avinu. We see the some relation between Moshe and Avram. And the Malachim, Hashem said to the Malachim, don't you remember this person? Didn't you once go down to this earth? I sent you on a mission, and you were his guest, and he fed you. He gave you some... Avram said to Sarah, Mahari, Shloish Seim Kemach Soilas Lushi Vasiugos. He's your host. Have some derecheres. Have some hakaras hatoiv. He sustained you. He gave you bread, ugos, made from Kemach Soilas. And the Medrash says, Shmos Rabba, they were ashamed. They were embarrassed. And in the meantime, Moshe chapped the Torah. And he got away. Okay, there's more to it. Okay, but that's part of the process. So what do we learn from this? That was part of the process. Yes, there's more to it. There are many parts of the process. Do you have the Yetzirah? Do you have all of these mitzvahs? Okay, but that's part of the process. He said you'd be ashamed that Avraham Avinu fed the Malachim of Kemach. So we learn from this.
It seems to me like
Sneak it out. He won. He prevailed. This was part of a process, part of a complex process of many midrashim, in fact, where Moshe Rabbeinu, he prevailed. He prevailed. This is one piece of the puzzle. So what do we learn from this? We learn from this very powerful yisod is that part of the reason why we're zoicha to the Torah is because of Avraham Avinu. This is powerful stuff. This part is the most powerful part of the entire art, is because Avraham Avinu went and fed them Lushi Ugos. He made Ugos for the Malachim. Avraham Avinu, he was hospitable, provided the Malachim with food, and therefore, in reward for that, the Malachim, it quieted the opposition, and Moshe prevailed. He was able to take control of the Torah and bring it down to this world. The schus of the Ugos, spats the Ugos, Mahari, Shloishim Kemach Solas, Lushi Vyasi Ugos. Okay. So the Chassam Sefer says, based upon this, that is why we have Shtei Halach. First of all, they are Ugos, right? It's only in the Zchus. Even the Torah doesn't say any of this. It's all Drush. It's like really heavy, heavy Drush. This is not lightweight Drush. Like you're really pushing it, going really over the edge. Bread. What's this bread? Shtei halechem, bread on Shavuos. It's because It's all about Torah. Let's not kid ourselves. Even though the Torah doesn't say anything about Matan Torah, it doesn't say Yoy Matan Torah Seinu, it just says Bikurim, but it's all about Matan Torah. And Matan Torah, it only came because of the Avos. Avraham, the first, it really all starts with him. We go back to the Sharashim, we go back to the Reishis. Mereishis, Priyu Adama. We're going back to the beginning, and the beginning is Amavinu. And he gave Klal Yisrael, and he gave Klal Yisrael, he gave the Malachim bread. Now let's say, here's where the Chassam Sofer goes further. Everyone knows this Rashi, everyone went to first grade, everyone knows the Rashi, that Avraham told Sarah, Silas, I want you to prepare bread made from fine flour. And Sarah said, no, kemach. Kemach, not so. What is kemach? Coarse flour. It's not the best. It's not been sifted to the same degree. And Rashi says, Mikan, from here we learn that Noshim are stingy. Everyone knows it's Rashi. Women are stingy. Avram wanted to give fine quality, and Sarah wanted to give poor quality bread made for these people, these Arabs, these Arovim. You're going to go give them the good stuff. Give them the kemach. Don't give them the soilas. Okay, that's Rashi. Obviously, there's a lot more depth in this idea. And the truth is, the Chassam Sofer says, Avraham gave both. So it says, this is the debate that took place between the scenes and after the debate, this is the Chassam Sofer, I'm saying, scramble, he says, Rashi's right, they debated this, and they could not come to a compromise. You know, husband and wife, you're supposed to have peace. So what was the compromise in this situation? We'll give them both and let them decide. Mahari, what's the
pasuk?
Shloitzim kemach soiles. Both. They had a debate. Avram couldn't win, she couldn't win. Shalom bias. Both. Kemach soiles. What? Two different types of bread. So the Chassam Sofer says to be miramis, to remind us of the two disagreements. First of all, it's all based on the foundation. Remember, yeah, this is the legitimacy of the Chassam Sofer. It's all based on the foundation. The only reason why Avraham Avinu was able to prevail, Moshe was able to prevail and get the Torah, was because of the bread that Avraham gave the Malachim. What kind of bread? There was a big fight in the family, domestic violence, domestic fight between husband and wife. What kind of bread to give the Malachim, which will ultimately be the argument that Moshe will need to win the Torah. There was a debate. There was Avraham, there was Sarah. There was Kemach Soiles. So therefore, when it comes Shavuos, you know what you're bringing? You bring two loaves of bread. To be merames, the two different, both. Now, even though the halacha is, the mincha has to be soilas. You don't bring kemach. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a little bit of kasha. If this mamish emes lamitai, there should be a mincha from soilas to kemach. Chassam Sofer says, I know you can ask this kasha, but it's not a kasha, because that's halacha and korbanos. Yeah. It's a drush. This is a drush. I know this is a little pushing it, but it's a cute little thing. I like it, so I won't say over. It's a drush. That's merames. That's why they are two. To be merames to the fight. Now, what's the deeper meaning of this fight? So the Chassam Sofer says something very beautiful. And the Shavili Pinchas, or Pinchas Friedman, he goes, Mom, she takes off on this, and he goes to town. The argument was, Avraham Avinu, when he was dealing with Torah, he wanted Klal Yisrael to receive basically Torah that's soilless. That's easy. Mm-hmm. You know, what's, you know, you have a chumash, yeah, you have the Torah, like the Rambam. Just give Klal Yisrael, you know, Mishnah Torah. Everything's been sifted through. They'll read the Mishnah Torah, have a Seder, and there's no Daf Yomi. You just go every day to a Shir, the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam will lay out for you the Halacha. He figured everything out. Everything is crystal clear. You don't need to go and contradictions, look at the Gemaras, and where the Rambam gets this from. Everything should be easy. Easy, crystal clear. Sarah said, no, that's not a Mahalach. If he's going to make it too easy, they'll take it for granted. They're not going to have the Chavivas in Torah. Give them Kemach. Give them Torah that's raw. That's full of, you can't say soilless, but Torah that needs sifting. You need Yigiyah. You need refinement. You need effort. You need to go vital. You need to work. This was the disagreement between Sarah. Sarah, Chazal tell us, was greater than Avraham Avinu. And Sarah had the insight to realize that if it's too easy, if you're going to give Klal Yisrael a Mishnah Torah, yeah, it'll be good for a couple of years. They'll learn. They'll get bored. They'll fall to the wayside. If it's not going to be Yigiyah, there's not going to be Amelus, the satisfaction in refining the Torah yourself, there's not going to be Sibuk HaNefesh. Oh, exactly. He goes say it exactly what the Pinchas Friedman says. He goes now to the whole Shas, every time it's a Silas and Kemach, and in Sarah he goes and he ties this, and this one he goes berserk over this. So it has to be, yes, this was the disagreement between Avraham and Sarah. Now the other hint, Avraham really is also right, because it's true, you need satisfaction, but you also have to come to a conclusion. If you're not going to have Asuke Shmaitza, Aliba de Hilchasa, you're not going to be able to live your life. You can't live in the life in the fog. You have to have some clarity. So the end was, you know what? Both. There has to be both. There has to be a Torah of Soiles. We have a Kitta Shulchan Aruch, we have a Shulchan Aruch, we have a Klal Yisrael Baruch Hashem, there's a Mishnah Torah, there's plenty, there's unlimited Torah that you can learn Begeder Soiles. But there's also a Mahalach in Torah. This is what Torah is all about. There's an inyan to learn Torah, L'shem Shemayim, to work through the sources and to refine it, to be Mechadish, and to delve deeper into Torah, which is the Geder of Sora Imenu Kemach. And as Rabbi Mayevsky said, Inein Kemach, Ein Torah. It doesn't say Inein Soil. Of course, no one's going to take away the simple meaning of this Chazal. There's no Parnassah, there's no Torah. That's from Shutim Ad Ma'ot. But on a deeper level, it's Inein Kemach, Ein Torah, not Inein Soiles, Ein Torah. Because Kemach means if you're not going to work, you're not going to be Omel in Torah, to refine the Torah, Midin Kemach, and to go from the Kemach to a finished product, there's not going to be a Kiyum for the Torah in the long term. A person needs the satisfaction in taking the raw material, refining it, and producing a finished product. That is what will give permanence to the Torah. We have a famous Chazal, Adam Kiyamos Be'oihel. A person dies in a tent. Chazal said, what does this mean? Ein Adam Koine Torah. This is the Torah. You want Torah? You want to be Zoycha to Zoycha Torah? Yamos. Ein Adam Koine Torah Ela Nemes Atzmer Alech, until you die. Pinchas Friedman says, why did the Torah express this in the word Ohel? Because the word Ohel is a code for Sarah. Aye Sara Ishtecha. He what's the pasuk?
Hinei va'ohel.
She's in the ohel. It doesn't say in the eshel. The eshel Avram, Ayitavim eshel, or any other term in Machne. It says ohel. Ohel is a code. Derech Drosh for Sara Imenu. Zois haTorah. You want to be zecha to a kima Torah? Adam kiyamus ba'oihel. It has to be the Torah of Sara Imenu, of Kemach, not of Soilus. And therefore, that is why on Shavuos we have the Shtei Halechem. The Shtei Halechem is one corresponds to the Torah. Again, the Shtei Halechem is all based on the foundation. We only have Torah because the Malachim, they were the guests of Avraham Avinu. And at that momentous day, when he gave them the bread, there was a very big debate between Sarah, and they foresaw Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh, this is all about Torah. And we have to know what Sechus is Torah going to be. Is the Torah going to be captured in the essence of Soiles or of Kemach? And therefore, that's why Sari Menu had, there was this debate, and the truth is they're both right. Eilu the Eilu, there has to be both, there has to be Kemach and Soiles. And therefore, that's why I said, Mari Shloishim Kemach Soiles. And that's what we have on Shavuos, the Shtei Halecha. It's similar to the idea of Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichsav to a certain degree is the soilless. Torah Shebalpeh is the difficult part, which is the Torah Shebalpeh is that we need the Kof Aleim Har Kigigis. Okay, let me tell you another quick vart. Running out of time. Another quick vart. This vart is, the Torah was given on what day? On Vav Sivan, Moshe was Moshe, Vimech HaMidayit, Zayin Sivan. What is the significance of Zion Sivan? What happened on Zion Sivan? What are the biblical events? Did the Mabul happen? No. What? Chereigel, no. Moshe Rabbeinu was conceived. Chassam Sofer. Unbelievable Chassam Sofer. Moshe Rabbeinu was conceived. No. 8-9 months later. Let's assume the machlokes is in the Gemara, but let's assume the Rashi learns 9 months later. If Moshe Rabbeinu was born on Zion Adar, so when was he conceived? Work backwards. He was conceived on Zion Sivan. So we know that Rosh Hashanah, that Shavuos, it's called the Gemara and Masechta Megillah is called Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of a new year. That's why we lay in the Toichacha. We lay in the Toichacha before Shavuos. It's where Ezra worked out that the Toichacha should be laying before Shavuos in order the year shall end, all the klala should be over, and we shall start the new year with Bracha. Tochel Shanu Birchoy Secha. Shavuos is Rosh Hashanah? The answer is yes. Why is it Rosh Hashanah? It's because it's the beginning of man. And just like we said on Tishrei, Hayom Haras Olam, the world was conceived, Hayom Haras Olam, it was the day, Matan Torah was the anniversary of the day when Moshe Rabbeinu was conceived, the ultimate man, the man who went to Shemayim and brought down the Torah, brought down Termina Shemayim. It is significant. There is significance that it is the very beginning of Moshe Rabbeinu, the man that personifies Torah, the man that brought down Torah. On Shmini Atzeret, on Shavuos, on Simchas Torah, what do? We learn about his death. Vayom Moshe Moshe. It's not the anniversary of his death, but we learn about his death. Shavuos is a day when we focus on his conception. It's a very interesting relationship between Shavuos and Simchas Torah. The conception of Moshe Rabbeinu, the very, very beginning to the very, very end, the shleimus of Moshe Rabbeinu's contribution to his Misa on Shmini Atzeres. And that is something which definitely is significant in its own right. Okay, we'll leave it with that. Have a wonderful Yom Tov. All the best to all of you. Chag Kosher v'Sameach.
Yeah, that was good.